welcome to Intentional Living. I've just opened the doors, and you're welcome to come on into our center today. We're going to celebrate adoption. This is National Adoption Month, and our lines are absolutely jammed with stories coming in on the power of adoption and how adoption has changed your lives. And we're going to start with Susan, who's going to join us here in just a moment to tell an amazing story. So hang in there from the Intentional Living Center.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author, husband and father, and your advocate for the family. Have you adopted a child into your family? We'd love to hear your story. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Very, very important half hour ahead here. And by the way, when we think of adoption, just based on the phone calls coming in, we know it has touched many, many lives. There's a verse that comes to mind in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, and it's the Apostle Paul who's laying out in the very first few verses of this book in the Bible God's intention. And he says here to us, he says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You know, and it should. It's a beautiful picture. And families that have been touched by the power of adoption, what a gift. What a gift. How's it impacted your family, touched your family? 888-888-1717 is the number. And we're going to get Susan Bates on the line in just a moment. She's got a quite amazing story, and we'll try to share that here in the first part of the program and take some of your calls as well as we share adoption stories from Intentional Living.
For Intentional Living, I'm Rob Riegel with a look at adoption through the eyes of music artist Mark Schultz. Mark's deep passion for adoption can be traced back to his earliest roots.
Yeah, I was adopted when I was 2 weeks old, and so because of that, I feel part of my mission now with my platform is to help families who want to adopt and kids who haven't had the opportunity to be adopted.
Even with two little boys of their own, Mark and his wife Kate are about to embark on their own adoption journey.
I would want to adopt because I'm adopted, but I think my wife even more so, she's always thought, what a great way to give back and to give thanks to God for the life that I've had.
And as Mark reminds us, adoption may be closer to our lives than we're actually aware.
You know, we were at a function one night and a man asked, how many people in this room are adopted? And about 10 hands went up, and about 2,000 people. And they said, okay, put your hands down again. And he said, now let me ask you again, how many people in this room would consider yourself a child of God? And then, you know, slowly all the hands go up. And then he said, okay, put your hands back down. He goes, I'm going to ask one more time, how many people in this room are adopted? And everybody kind of looked at each other, and the smiles went up, and all the hands went back up again.
Mark's wife, Kate, is an OBGYN. And his adoption story had a profound impact on her ministry.
You know, when she was a resident, some of the doctors say, are you okay with doing abortions? There were several Christians in her residency class, but she was one of the first ones to say, I'm not going to do an abortion. And one of the reasons I'm not going to do an abortion is because I'm married to a man who was adopted, and I can't imagine him not being on the search.
Mark once rode his bike 3,500 miles across America for the cause of adoption. Any plans to do it again?
As you know, Rob, you rode through several states with me on that bike trip, and that took a lot of work, as we both know. And so two kids into it now, I may be finished with that. As a matter of fact, we started something called the Remember Me Mission.
Every year we put out a creative project, and all the money from that project goes to fund the Remember Me Mission, which goes to help fund orphans all over the world.
He's my son.
Find the link to Mark's website on our broadcast highlights page at theintentionallife.com. For Intentional Living, I'm Rob Riegel.
Boy, you learn things when you listen to this program. You learn things. Now, I knew about Mark Schultz. I was with him, and he sang I Spoke at a conference just a few months ago, but to hear his story. But I didn't know our own Rob Riegel, right here behind the controls himself, rode, what, 300 miles? With Mark Schultz on his cross-country trek there. Very good. We're talking about adoption today and the power stories of lives changed as a result of this. Very biblical, as you look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 about us being adopted as well. And we got Susan on the line, Susan Bates from the Flagstaff area, listener of Family Life Radio, and got her own story of adoption. Susan, welcome to the program. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate it. What was it? Why did you consider adoption in the first place?
My husband and I were not able to have children, and we really wanted a family. I had lost my family at age 19. My mother, father, uncle, aunt, and cousin were killed in a flood, and I felt almost like Job. The home was lost. I was left orphaned, penniless, and homeless in one night. And to have a family became one of the deepest desires of my heart. We were not able to have our own children, and so adoption became the number one thought on our minds. However, my husband was older. We were not able to get on any normal adoption rolls. So consequently, we looked everywhere, high and low, to be able to find a child that God would allow us to adopt. And it was one of the most frustrating things I've ever gone through in my life, and heartbreaking, as so many parents, or would-be parents, know.
So what path did you take? How did that progress? How did it conclude? What did you do?
Well, we tried the normal adoption roles, but like I said, my husband was too old. We tried foreign adoptions. They wanted too much money. We tried the route of private adoptions. Again, the same thing. Plus, my husband was older. We didn't want to wait 5 years. And so, honestly, it came down to prayer, Dr. Randy. After so many disappointments of thinking that this was going to come through, and it didn't, over and over again. Honestly, getting to the point where a mother gave birth to a child, and we say, can we come to the hospital because we're supposed to have that child, and she changes her mind.
Yes.
And the heartbreak of that.
Yeah.
And one morning I just gave up. I just said, Father, you know where all the children are in the world, and if there's any out there that need a Christian home, my husband and I want to have them. And within a half an hour, we received a phone call from one of the agencies that had gotten my name and number, and it led to our ability to adopt two children within 24 hours.
Wow. How long ago was that, Susan?
It was 1986, I believe, so 28 years ago.
All right, so you are on the side of this now where you can look back at 25 plus 28 years and see there's a story here, you know, because we're talking today about what has been the impact, how has it changed your life? And I want you to hang on for a moment, Susan. I'd like to have you come back and turn the corner and talk about, okay, what's happened now 28 years later? How has that impacted your life? What do you say to other families who are considering adoption, maybe praying about it for themselves today with so many needs around? So hang on, Susan. We'll get back to you in just a minute.
Hi, my name is Joy, and we have been foster parents over the last 8 years and have fostered over 30 children, one which we adopted, a five-year-old. But we took in two summers ago a sister and a brother whose adoptive parent couldn't keep them any longer. And they came to live with us, and they lived with us from July until June. But we mentioned to our pastor that they were up for adoption, and he and his wife went ahead and were able to go through the process and adopt these two children. Today was the day that they were adopted, and it was really cool to be listening to this program and to know that there are people that just have a heart for these kids.
This is a really cool program. You know, you think about this month is National Adoption Month, and there's so many stories, and we know every story is unique because every person is unique. But I want to tell you something. We are pro-adoption. We believe in this, and I believe in seeing the power of a changed life through adoption. When I think about God adopting us, Ephesians chapter 1, what a beautiful picture that is of people reaching out and caring for children in need. We're talking to Susan. She's on the phone from the Flagstaff area. And Susan, you adopted two kids back in the 1980s. Tell me about the children that you adopted back then. What's been going on?
They couldn't be more wonderful, and I couldn't love them more, Dr. Randy. Out of all the decisions that I've made in my life, and there was really never a decision, I loved them before I even saw them, but they have turned into the most wonderful parents, human beings I could ever ask for. My daughter is married. She is a Christian, and her husband is. She is the most wonderful mother to her four children that she has now. So I have four grandchildren out of that adoption that I just, they're priceless to me. And my son is just an amazing man of God. He, too, is in church, and he's in a wonderful relationship with a Christian woman. They have just blessed our life beyond measure.
Now, how has that changed you? I mean, you think about 28 years, you look back on this. What did the adopting these two precious children 20-some years ago, what did it do in your life for you personally?
Honestly, Randy, the first thing it did was take my eyes off of me. I think so much of our society can be so self-centered, and it's all about making me happy. And the Christ that is in us says, no, it's about blessing other people. And through my children, I learned to give and give and give. In fact, I think opening that door allowed us then to open the door to allow many more people into our lives. We have since then almost had like a spirit of adoption to where anyone who is hurting, we welcome them into our lives.
I understand that you had a young lady from Germany that you reached out to. Tell us about that.
Yeah, she was suffering from anorexia. And we promised that if she got better, she could come and live with us for a summer. Well, she was 14 years old at the time, and she did get better so she could come to America. Huh. And since that time she has received Christ, she stayed with us for probably 3 years total and took the light of the gospel back to Germany. Her family became saved. Her brother became a missionary. She is now a pastor's wife and has served Christ as a pastor's wife and has a beautiful Christian family and continues to share the gospel and are actually taking in an adopted child as we speak.
Wow, what a message. I understand you're even at this stage in your life, you're opening your heart to minister to those in need.
We are. We also have a young man that lives on our property that had been through Teen Challenge. And he was virtually homeless, and we opened up our tiny little humble guest house to him. And we now have a program that serves at-risk teenage boys, teaching them horsemanship. Yeah. And this young man who lives on our property is the head of that.
Wow. Well, one decision. You know, we talk about intentional living being points of decision, to make a decision. Life is about decisions. In fact, motivation, when you look at the word motivation, it's from the Latin. It means to move, to actually take action. There was a point in time where Susan made a decision to say, hey, we're going to reach out and we're going to love someone, a child in need. And God opened that door and made it available and transformed their life. What a powerful message. Maybe today you've been thinking about that, contemplating it for yourself. Think about it. Pray about it. Maybe today is the day to think about the power of adoption in your own life. Hey, Susan, we got a lot of calls standing by I want to get to, but I want to thank you for getting us started today on the program, and thank you for your great story.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share this wonderful blessing.
Thank you, Susan. We're going to get to your calls here in just a minute.
Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. You're listening to Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Coming up, we've got more heartfelt stories on adoption. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
too much busyness, too much shopping, and not enough meaningful family time. I need to reboot Christmas.
Need a little inspiration to help turn your buried Christmas into a merry Christmas? Intentional Living can help when you make your gift to the ministry this month. Just ask for the new gift book, Made to Thrive at Christmas. This beautifully designed book shares scripture and fresh, meaningful traditions, practical holiday ideas, and most importantly, ways to enrich your relationships at Christmas. And your gift to the Intentional Living Center will be used by God to mend broken hearts and transform lives. Ask for the new book, Made to Thrive at Christmas, so you and your family can celebrate a Christ-centered Christmas. Go to theintentionallife.com, that's theintentionallife.com, to make your gift to intentional living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. One of the things you'll hear over and over when talking to people about the process of adoption is how prayer played a significant role. Well, if you need prayer, join our prayer community. Once you post your request or your praise, you can see how many people are praying for you and even receive encouragement from those same people. Join today and share with us your praises and your request. Go to theintentionallife.com/prayer. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Randy.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Intentional Living. The doors are open. Our center is open here for you, and it's a real place on the planet. And from here, we create resources and video and so many things for the family. In fact, we just partnered with Right Now Media, which is a service to churches where they put up video resources for small groups and so on. And they've taken some of our prime resources here, our videos that we've created on Intentional Living, and so intrigued with them that they're on site now, available to, what, over 9,000 churches around the country. We have our own small group videos going out, our classroom setting through our regular events. Over the last 4 years, we've had over 25,000 people come and participate in an Intentional Living event and seen about 80% stand and make a one-thing commitment for their marriage, their family, their own personal life. And I'll tell you, every topic that we cover here comes back to intentionality, to be motivated. And maybe on a topic like today, maybe we get one person, two people, maybe there's going to be a handful, maybe hundreds, who will say, you know, we've been praying about adoption or foster parenting, and this is going to be the move. This is it, you know, hearing these stories today. That's why we do this. This is what Intentional Living is all about. Let's get a couple more stories on the line here before we run out of time. Let's go to New Mexico. Sarah in New Mexico, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
I appreciate your call. Tell us your story, Sarah.
Well, I was adopted in 1988 in Turkey. Both my parents were stationed there. My dad was Air Force, and they couldn't have any more children. My mom had children from a previous marriage, but together they couldn't have any. And so they chose to adopt, and at that time they only allowed kids under two to be adopted. And so my dad said, you know, I want this little girl. I was born into a tiny little village, and in that village, the women took care of me because my parents abandoned me. Mm. My biological mother was not married, and they're all, of course, Muslim. These women took care of me for 6 weeks. I was very sick. I was about two and a half months premature, and the maid of my parents, my adopted parents, took me to them and said, look at this child. I think this is your child. And so from there on, they've taken care of me. They adopted me. It took about a year for the process to go through. So, and then it's been me and my mom the rest of my life.
What does adoption mean to you when you look back on your life?
I don't think I'd be alive. My parents really took a leap of faith with me, and it just has meant that I have lived an easy, incredible life for Christ. You know, later on in my life, I became a Christian. Neither of my parents are believers, and I have been able to touch others with my story because, you know, growing up, when my dad left us, it was really interesting lifetime for us. And so my mom never felt any different for me. She always knew that I was her child.
Yeah.
And so that has given me the faith that now we're going through embryo adoption. And so we're doing that, and that gives me the faith to know that, you know, hey, later on, I'm never going to look at this child any other way than that is my child.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing for us.
Good for you. Well, Sarah, thank you for telling us your story and sharing your journey. And you were very blessed, and all those pieces came together at God's ordained time, didn't it, back in 1988?
It really did. And, you know, in that time frame, like I said, adoption, and now you can't even adopt in Turkey anymore. Yeah. So it really, it was amazing that it worked that way.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you for your call. You know, you think about 1988. How many of you were alive in 1988? Well, Stephen raised his hand, obviously. Was that 1880? I didn't say 1880. You know, and you think about what you were doing in 1988. You were doing something, right? And this little girl abandoned in a small village in Turkey, and these two people come along and adopt her and change her life. We all have a story, don't we? There's somewhere on the planet today, this very moment, this week, somebody's going to be adopted. And 25 years from now or so, they're going to be able to call and say, here's the change in my life as a result of that. What a story. Okay, Pat's on the line in Arizona. Pat, welcome from Arizona. Appreciate your call. What's your story?
Thank you, Dr. Carlson.
Go right ahead, Pat. What's your story?
Oh, okay. My first wife and I had two children the old-fashioned way. And back in 1989, I made the decision that I was done having children. And at the ripe old age of 22, found a hard time finding a doctor that would actually do the procedure for me until I ran into a place called Planned Parenthood. And they took care of that. And then in 1996, I gave my life to Christ and remarried. And I told my wife, I said, I can't have any more kids, you know, just know that going into this marriage. And she married me anyway. About a year and a half, 2 years later, the Lord started moving on my heart about kids again. And I said, how are we going to do this, you know? So we started looking into adoption, went through a number of options before we came to the international adoption. And in 2000, in April 2000, we adopted our little boy from Korea.
Wow.
A year and a half later, we received an email notification from our agency that they had a little girl. And so we went ahead and adopted her from Korea. And then a year and a half later, we got another email about that they had boys that needed homes here in Arizona. So we went over and got another little boy from Korea.
Wow.
And then we took a break for a couple of years.
You didn't read any emails for a couple of years, right?
No. We were pretty busy. And then I got a call out of the blue from my a nephew in Ohio. And he says, hey, Uncle Pat, I know you don't know this, but my girlfriend just gave birth to a little boy, and we're putting him up for adoption, and we don't want to give him to strangers. They said, do you want him? And I said, yeah. So I got on the next flight to Ohio. And came back a week later with a newborn. And then about a year or two later, my wife started saying, you know, I think the Lord's talking to me again about adoption, this time from Ethiopia. I said, Ethiopia? I said, oh.
Where's that?
Okay, let's pray about that. And so we started praying about it, and she said, I think the Lord's asking us to get two this time. I thought, two? And so a couple years later, back in 2012, my 12-year-old son and I flew to Ethiopia and came back with two girls. At the time, they were ages 4 and 6. So we've got 6 at home now. They're about a year and a half apart, 2 years, something like that. And our lives are really rich and full.
Wow.
My wife's adopted also.
Wow,
so,
you guys have a movie and a book in that deal. I tell you what, And Pat, what a story. You know, we could elaborate, and we got calls that are waiting to get on. We don't have time. And it's a reminder today of the power of adoption. Pat, thank you for your call. I think I hear your email beeping. You might want to go take a look. The 60s is when you start to harvest all that you've invested up to 60. If you've planted good seeds, build a strong marriage, family, whatever, you can start harvesting. It starts coming back to you. If on the other hand, you realize, hey, wow, there's some stuff back there not so good, you start harvesting that as well. You harvest your decisions from your 30s, your priorities from your 40s, and your momentum from your 50s. And the 60s is the beginning of transition with the challenge of dealing with change. It's not the end. Even though my hair is gray, I said it's not the end, but it's the end of the middle. And I think that's important. And I'll tell you how I know that, because I now take senior discounts. And the question is, here it is. I think this is a question for those of us in our 60s. What one thing do I need to do now to make the rest of my life filled with purpose and meaning? That's a clip from a teaching that I did a couple months ago. It's on the decades of life, how to be intentional through every decade of life. And I think it's a pretty neat teaching, because I looked at each of these decades in terms of what were some of the challenges and accomplishments of each decade. And if we can help some of you young folks that are listening, and some of us who are maybe in the middle years, have been through life a little bit, can look back and say, hey, I can go back. Maybe I have to make some changes, have to get a little more intentional about a few things to make every decade, even the ones maybe I messed up in, to go back if I can and make some difference in terms of some healing or restoration. This is the teaching, by the way, for October, November. But what we did, it's a two-parter. In November, everyone receiving the CD, all of our members, you guys are also getting the first half as well. So you're going to get October and November on the November CD. If you're a member, watch for it. If you're not, come join us. Coming up in December, the teaching will be on habits, the power of habits. Monthly members for you exclusively at theintentionallife.com. But we have something special for every person listening, every person who enjoys the Intentional Living message. It's a brand new resource called Made to Thrive at Christmas. It's a book that we created where you can get some ideas and thoughts and scripture readings, relationship helps and traditions and so on in this book that you can read. Easy to read. And when you're done, you may want to put it in an envelope and share it with someone else. It's our gift to you when you share a gift with the ministry today. We're only offering this for a few more days, so get online, share your gift. We can use your help. Thank you for supporting this listener-supported ministry. We can't do this without your help. I need your help. I'm asking for your support today. Ask for that. When you do, you can click on it there at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. All right, we got some really interesting topics coming up that'll be very practical for you in the days ahead here from the Intentional Living Center. Have a great day.